The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, it's me, Bill Martinez, top of the hour. How you doing, America? Hey, that's our goal, get this country back on track, but it's an all-hands-on-deck kind of thing. That means you and me, and we've got to focus on the things we agree on, because there is a lot that we agree on, and I will agree, if I can, with one Hillary Clinton. Scott, we were just talking about the correspondence dinner. I guess what is it? The geek journalist, party, prom dance or something with the president. Is that the way they look at it?
I think somebody said that.
But it was kind of interesting. I guess the president. One of the headlines that I picked up on, the president. Dropped an F-bomb. I mean, is this what it's come down to? I mean, forget about political correctness. Now we can just, let it fly. And then one of the comedians went off the rails there. A lot of pushback on some of the statements he made.
Yeah. I guess with, what was it, Neil Simon last week we heard?
Paul Simon.
Paul Simon.
So, the F word and the S word.
I guess it's hip among that crowd now.
I guess, it's like somehow we're trying to over-relate to millennials or something. So if we use that kind of language, somehow we fit in.
I think the best way to relate to a millennial is to stop paying their allowance.
You think that might get their attention, huh?
Let them know.
Well, speaking of the White House, and of course, last week we spoke with Tom Fitton with Judicial Watch, and more information is coming out from this latest round of a FOIA request that came out, and it has to do with, this stuff leads all the way to the White House, as if we're surprised, right? And this is these new Benghazi documents. Catherine Herridge had this to say about that.
New Benghazi documents released through a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit lead directly to the White House and suggest a senior advisor to President Obama played a central role preparing UN Ambassador Susan Rice for her controversial Sunday show appearances where she wrongly blamed an internet video for the terrorist attack. Among the more than 100 pages of documents released to Judicial Watch is a September 14, 2012 email from Ben Rhodes, an assistant to the President and Deputy National Security Advisor for Strategic Communications. This email with the subject line, Prep Call with Susan, states that one of the goals for her national TV appearances was, quote, to underscore that these protests are rooted in an internet video and not a broader failure of policy. The Rhodes email was written 3 days after terrorists killed 4 Americans, including Ambassador Chris Stevens, and it was sent to a dozen members of the administration's inner circle, including key members of the White House communications team, such as spokesman Jay Carney. The president of Judicial Watch said the documents read like a PR strategy and not an effort to provide the best available intelligence to the American people.
Well, there it is right there. I mean, under the subject that Catherine Herridge was referring to, it said prep call with Susan. I mean, they put this upon the people. And I can't believe, I mean, again, this just goes to demonstrate just how much in the tank the media was, including Candy Crowley. If you remember, how she covered the President's Six in that debate. And Mitt Romney had an opportunity to go for the juggler. The juggler was hanging out there, as you'll recall, Scott, and just kind of let it go by the wayside and allowed Candy Crowley to insert herself. I mean, here she is as a moderator, and she upends and dictates the direction of the debate. In much the same way that Harry Reid did when he lied in the well of the Senate and kind of giggled about it and said, oh, that's okay. Candy Crowley, of course, turns things upside down, sets a narrative out there that promotes what the president's agenda was all about. There's millions of people, that were watching that debate. I want to say 50 million people. And then she goes on CNN with about maybe a 500,000 people by comparison, goes, I may have made a mistake. You think? But, hey, is it any wonder? I know you're not shocked and awed. It's just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. We're live.
This is it. For the first time ever on this station, U.S. government gold offered at cost for only $139 each. With Wall Street suffering its worst start to a trading year in history, now is especially the time to be paying attention to gold. This first time ever, U.S. legal tender government gold offered at cost for only $139 each is from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call them at 1-866-944-GOLD. Gold is on the move, so don't miss out. For the first time ever on this station, U.S. government gold offered at cost for only $139 each. 1-866-944-GOLD or online at usmoneyreserve.com. Ask for a free 55-page gold buyer's book. Plus, get a free Walking Liberty half dollar just for reading this must-have book. Get your free gold book, your free half dollar, but most importantly, get your gold at cost for only $139 per coin. 1-866-944-GOLD.
Live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. Want to drop me an email. Get involved in the conversation. Let us know your thoughts. Always love to hear from you. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Well, it's an interesting time in this political season with all the stuff going on. We've got a socialist gaining ground over a presumptive nominee for the Democratic Party, and who would have thunk that would have happened. Trump is losing momentum here. It seemed like he was going to be able to kind of slide into Cleveland and be the presumptive nominee. But now the conversation of a contested convention is becoming more and more credible. And our next guest brings up the question that some have even asked, maybe even privately, maybe they even, you know, maybe even thought this. And I kind of wondered the same thing myself, and saying, as crazy as this is right now, could we find ourselves without an election altogether? Bill asks, he says, well, could there be an October surprise? I'm talking about Bill Fetter, a nationally known speaker, best-selling author and president of Amerisearch, Inc., a publishing company dedicated to researching America's noble heritage. Bill Fetter, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
It's great to be with you, Bill.
Hey, when I read that headline, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, I'm tracking with you. I'm going, okay, could this possibly happen? And then you know, as if once you got my attention, you go, well, could there be an October surprise? A lot of strange things have happened in the political process. And as my old teacher used to say, when things would occur, she goes, well, you got to understand, you're living in history. I go, yeah, we are.
You know, the concept of October surprise has been developed in politics because the last week of October is right before the election. And so the political strategy is you save some attack against your opponent for the last week and they don't have time to respond. And then it's developed into having some event that takes place that disrupts the election the last week. And more we're seeing orchestrated events. What do I mean? Well, let's look at Ferguson, Missouri. I used to live a half an hour from Ferguson. I spoke at the First Baptist Church of Ferguson several different times. Mm-hmm. And 99% of the people rioting in Ferguson were not from Ferguson. They were the Occupy Wall Street people that were brought back in. There were advertisements in the Chicago newspapers for people to get a couple $1,000 for going to Missouri and joining this Organized Missouri for Justice or whatever it's called. And they would train people to riot. and they had training sessions in liberal churches. I mean, poor people don't get the idea of holding hands across an interstate highway. I mean, how long have there been poor people, and they just don't think of that? Somebody has to organize this and plan this. And so we see, as Ferguson unfolded, the Democrat governor of Missouri ordered all the law enforcement to stand down for days, allowing them to have their space to riot. And after it was over, they said, well, our local police departments are inadequate. We need to federalize the police department. Sort of interesting. Some of the rioters had not been paid, and so they were organizing and demonstrating in front of the Organized Missouri Group headquarters, which was received like $30 million from a George Soros. So it started an internet campaign called Cut the Check hashtag, and it began to gain momentum. It was written up in WorldNet Daily News and in the Missouri, saying, look, you promised to pay us if we rioted. We did our part. Now pay. Cut the check. They eventually did cut the check so that it wouldn't get legs and become a news story nationally. Mm. Well, then they moved the same people to Baltimore. It was a rent-a-mob. And the Democrat mayor of Baltimore orders the police to stand down so that they could have space to do $1 billion worth of damage. I talked to a man whose son was on the police department. His hand got cut up because he was told to hold the barricade but don't fight back. Mm-hmm. And so after they rioted, the response was, our local police departments are inadequate. We need to federalize the police department. We need to give the federal government, we need to give the president a standing army in every city across America by taking over these local police departments. And so we see that it's gone from the communist idea of sending in agitators and agent provocateurs, provoking agents, to these organizers. And the thought is, when you mix this with Islam, you come up with a very interesting combination. Exactly. What do I mean? Well, we see that Muslims have had an Arab Spring. They've organized. They've worked to overthrow established governments. And we see large numbers of them coming into America across the southern borders. They call them OTMs other than Mexicans. 75 other countries are coming across the southern border: Somali, Pakistan, Sudanese, Saudis. And they're finding Korans and prayer rugs in the Arizona desert.
Exactly.
And Hugo Chavez had been bringing Muslim terrorists over from Iran, teaching them Spanish, sending them north, so they've infiltrated the drug gangs. There was one drug gang leader, his nickname was El Taliban, and so now we're seeing Syrian Muslim refugees being brought into America in large numbers, and nobody's asking for them, and the local schools don't even speak their languages, and they're taking over the Section 8 housing, and they're getting free food, free clothes. Somebody is working an agenda here, and it's not the people's will. And they're being brought into Spartanburg, South Carolina, Boise, Idaho, Cheyenne, Wyoming, Detroit, Michigan, all kinds of cities, even small rural areas. And the thought is, why? Who is
exactly
doing this?
Yeah, that's a big question. Right.
There's no background checks being done on them. The places they're coming from, they can't even, you know, all the buildings have been destroyed. But most refugee crises are women and children because the men were off dying and fighting. But these are mostly young men, military age, and they're being spread out into cities across America. And then we see how our president, with released five Muslim generals from Guantanamo Bay in exchange for a defector so they could go over and lead ISIS. Now we're seeing that they're wanting to bring these Muslim general organizers into the prison systems in America. The prisons have become recruiting grounds for Islam.
Exactly.
And then they're releasing prisoners, and they go into these inner cities. And so we're seeing a critical mass taking place. And the thought is, what if there were simultaneous Baltimores and Fergusons? What if we had an Arab Spring?
Mm-hmm.
And they're maybe building up to a head, maybe working with the Black Lives Matter and the Hands Up Don't Shoot and these college student groups and so forth, and maybe building up to a head before the next election. We do know that the current leadership in the White House does not want to let go of power.
Right.
And if there's a serious chance that they could lose power, I could see it graduating from an October surprise to what's voter fraud. I mean, if you can mentally justify killing an unborn baby, what's voter fraud? I mean, and so anything is possible. And I think that we may be distracted with the candidate process and be ignoring something that could be even more nefarious.
Well, you're exactly right, Bill Feder. I'll tell you, I've been, concerned that we may have, had our eye off the ball, in many areas. And this is just another one of those areas that we need to be most concerned about. Our conversation with Bill Feder will continue. Stay with
us. If you're a small or medium-sized business in this fast-paced digital world, making sure you have the latest technology is essential. From increased revenue and security to employee collaboration and productivity, there are many benefits to upgrading your technology to the cloud. Office 365 and Windows 10 were built to provide strong ROI for businesses of all sizes. Cindy Bates, Vice President of U.S. SMB Microsoft.
With news stories in the press daily about the vulnerability of data for companies big and small, cybersecurity remains a top concern for America's small businesses. We encourage entrepreneurs to pay particular attention to how they safeguard their business. Investing in modern technology like Office 365 and Windows 10 devices offers small business owners continually updated security to help protect information vital to earning customers' trust.
For more information, visit www.microsoft.com/business.
Do you have dry hands or itchy, peeling skin? Are your cracked feet in need of a makeover for sandal season? Hi, my name is Diane Cook, the creator of B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream. B-Spa is all natural, 16% beeswax, marigold extract, and other essential oils and nutrients. B-Spa is great for exceptionally dry hands and feet, but B-Spa can be used anywhere on the body. I am sure you will see a difference overnight. B-Spa is the only cream you will ever need. The convenient 2.5-ounce size jar travels nicely and a little goes a long way. B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream costs $29.99. Use promotion code 101 for free shipping. Order B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream today at bspa.com. That's BEESPA.com. That's BEESPA.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
How would you like to make 17% on your money in only 90 days?
That's right. Gold owners made 17% in only 3 months as gold had its best quarterly gain in 30 years. Gold is on the move, and you need to get government-issued, legal tender gold coins starting at only $139 each. The U.S. Money Reserve, one of the largest gold distributors in the country, announces the first ever at-cost gold release on this station for only $139 each. 1-866-94 GOLD or online at usmoneyreserve.com. Official U.S. government issued legal tender solid gold coins at cost for only $139 each. Call 1-866-944-GOLD. Ask for a free 55-page gold buyer's book. Plus, get a free Walking Liberty half dollar just for reading this must-have book all about gold. Remember, gold is on the move, up 17%. Call 1-866-944-GOLD.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At Bill Martinez Live, we have a healthy body blood sugar pack focusing on structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com, longevity, or call 855-305-8326. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 855-305-8326. That's 855-305-8326.
Booyah!
Just another Spanish love song.
Don't be afraid. You will not be hurt if you comply. Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid. Don't.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
You got to feel the pressure that's what they want us to do. I mean, there is a line to be towed here, and as long as you're towing that line, it's all good. You know, you can, just go along to get along. But meanwhile, as we do that, we're letting go of our liberties, and our freedoms are just slipping right through our fingertips. And what are we passing on to this next generation, to our children, our grandchildren? That's the question. 19 minutes after the top of the hour right now, Bill Federer is with us, nationally known speaker, best-selling author, and president of Amerisearch, Inc., a publishing company. Hey, Bill, you know, last time we talked, one of the books that we talked about was The Rise of the Tyrant. And, you know, when you look back in history, and this is, you know, I appreciate our conversations because, especially when we get into, you know, talking about history, there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, these are all patterns that have been well established, and, you know, we see these things that are coming up again. And, you know, it's interesting, and I find quite fascinating when you do read history and you see, you know, these cycles that seem to repeat themselves.
Right. Well, there's been 6,000 years of recorded human history. That's human beings writing down human records. So writing was invented around 3300 BC, Sumerian cuneiform on clay tablets in the Mesopotamian Valley. And from the beginning of writing till now, what do the records show? Well, they show pharaohs, Caesars, Kaisers, Sultans, Tsars, Maharaja, Genghis Khan, Julius Caesar, Attila the Hun. It's kings. The most common form of government in world history is kings. And there's this pull of gravity that I think goes back to the fall in the garden and Cain killing Abel and selfishness coming into the human DNA. So you put some babies in a playpen, one of them takes the rattle from the others. Put some kids on a playground, one of them is the bully hogging the ball. Put some people in the woods, one of them is the Indian chief. Put them in inner city, one of them is the gang leader. And all a king is, in a sense, is a glorified gang leader. And it's this hierarchical system where if you are friends with the king, you are more equal. If you are not friends with the king, you are less equal. And if you're an enemy of the king, you're dead. It's called treason. And so as the centuries go on, these kingdoms get bigger and bigger and bigger. 2,000 years and 33 major Egyptian dynasties ruled by pharaohs. 5,000 years and 18 major Chinese dynasties ruled by emperors. And Indian Maharajas and Cyrus of Persia, Darius, Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, Byzantine emperors, Muslim sultans, and King of Spain, France, and Austria. But the most powerful king in world history was the King of England. And he controlled 13 million square miles and 500 million people. And so when our founders got a chance to set up a government, they wanted to run as far away from a king as possible. They took the power of a king, broke it into three branches, separated it federal to state level, tied it up with 10 handcuffs we call the first 10 amendments. All the Constitution is, in a sense, is a bunch of hurdles to prevent the rubber band from snapping back into the hands of a king.
Exactly.
And so they looked at history to see alternatives that were attempted, and they looked to the Roman Republic, the Athenian democracy. They ultimately looked back to Israel. Lo and behold, Israel, 1400 BC, comes out of Egypt. They are the first nation in recorded history that was ruled without a king. Those first 400 years in the Promised Land, no king. Everyone was equal before the law. The law said there's no respect of persons in judgment. Everybody got to own private property. Everybody was in the militia and armed and ready at a moment's notice to defend their community. And the whole system worked as long as the priest taught it. When the priests stopped teaching the law, they had domestic chaos and sodomites surrounding houses and banging on the doors and concubines being raped and Eli, the high priest, his own son, sleeping with women in the tent of meeting and another Levite with a graven image in the house of a guy named Micah. And you're scratching your head thinking, what's this Levite with a graven image? Isn't that one of the laws? You're not supposed to have graven images. So the priests stopped teaching the law and the whole system began to fall apart and they began to have this domestic chaos and the rubber band snapped back and they got King Saul. So they went from ruling themselves back to a king in time of crises. And we look at another example was Athens. Around 594 BC, they got a guy named Solon who invented democracy. And he left town, so they had to do it. And in a democracy, everybody had to go to the market and talk politics every day. And it worked. And Plato says that a democracy works as long as the people have virtue. But when they give up their virtue, they give in to their passions and lusts, and there's domestic crises, and they said someone comes along, and he promises to fix it, and he's all smiles, and then as people yield their rights and power to this person, he consolidates power, and then when they begin to realize he's turning into a king, they cast it in his teeth, and this guy has the choice of giving up the power or getting rid of the people confronting him. And since he's a lover of power, he purges his administration and military of anybody that has virtue. All he wants is yes men. And then he stands in the chariot of state holding the reins of power, and he's revealed as the tyrant. And Plato says, how is he going to stay in power? Who does he get to be his new friend since he got rid of his old friends? He releases the prisoners, the convicts, the criminals, the slaves, the illegal aliens, and he arms them, and they become his mob that he uses to punish anybody that disagrees with him politically. And then he uses the power of this concentrated government to falsely accuse and audit and tax and drag away and kill anybody that disagrees with him. Finally, he stands in the chariot of state holding the reins of power, and he's revealed as the tyrant.
Mm.
And so a democracy only works as long as the people have virtue. So it's a spectrum of power. One side's total government, the other side's no government. Total government, you get a king, he controls every aspect of your life. No government is anarchy, unless the people have virtue and morals. But why would somebody follow a virtue or a moral? Why would you deny a selfish tendency? Israel introduced the key ingredient, a God who was watching everybody. He wants you to be fair. He will hold you accountable in the future. So you're about to steal something, and you know you can get away with it, and then you think, God is watching. He wants me to be fair. He's going to hold me accountable. Maybe I should hesitate stealing. And it creates something in your head called a conscience.
Yes.
If everybody believes God is watching, he wants you to be fair, he's going to hold you accountable, everybody is motivated to follow these internal virtues and morals, and you can have complete order in society with no policemen following everybody around. It's great, maximum liberty. But when you get rid of this God, all you have is internal morals. Why follow them? Some will out of habit. Others are going to say, forget this, if this life is all there is. And they're going to begin to steal and rob and smash windows and get mobs in the streets and set things on fire. And then the people are going to say, government, please step in to restore order. And the king will send his militarized police down the street. They'll go house to house collecting everybody's guns. And yeah, they'll restore order. But when the dust settles, you'll have fundamentally transformed your form of government from the people ruling themselves back to a king. And so we see this is a process observable in history, so much so that there are philosophers politically that wanted to speed this process along. So Machiavelli lives 500 years ago in Italy, and Italy was a bunch of city-states that always fought, Venice, Genoa, Naples, Florence. And so Machiavelli thought if one prince could control all of Italy, it would stop this infighting. So he writes a book called The Prince, where he advocates the ends justifies the means. The end of one prince controlling all of Italy is so good, any means necessary to get there is justified. Lie, cheat, steal. So if a prince conquers a city, they would hate him. But if the prince pays criminals to kill cows, burn barns, and create crisis and terror, the people would cry out for help. The prince would come in as the hero, kill the very criminals he bribed. Nobody would know the better for it, and the prince would end up being in charge. And so it's really good marketing. You create the need and fill it. You go around the back of the house and set it on fire. Then you go around the front of the house and sell them a fire extinguisher, and they'll pay anything for it and thank you for being there. It's called Machiavellianism, where you create or capitalize on a crisis to consolidate control. Well, how do you create these crises? Over the years, Karl Marx said, well, you send in agitators, provoking agents, agent provocateurs, community organizers, labor organizers. Their job is to create domestic crises. And then when there's blood in the streets, everybody begs the government to come in and restore order. And when the dust settles, you'll have fundamentally transformed your country from other people ruling themselves back to a king.
Wow. And the cycle continues. Is it any wonder why the drug lords continue to exist and are expanding their operations from south so deep into so deep in the United States, Bill?
Yeah. And so if you want to transform our country, you need provoking agents. You need to stir up crises. And so they've been trying to get a racial crisis going. But unfortunately, there's something called Christianity. And even Napoleon said, religion is what keeps the poor from murdering the rich. So if you have Christians that are poor, they'll just suffer. But if you get rid of Christianity and you just have raw human lust and you can say, you want what they have, follow me and you'll get it. And then you can organize them to riot. And then once there's rioting, people beg the government to step in and you transform your government back to a king.
And this has happened time and time again. Nothing new under the sun, Bill Fetter.
Unfortunately, but hopefully we can learn from history.
Well, it's, as I say, it's an opportunity to define preference, but it's up to we the people. I mean, you know, the problem is us. You know, we can point fingers, but you look in the mirror and say, what am I doing, you know, to promote the cause one way or another? Bill Fetter on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Always good to have you with us. It's 28 after the top of the hour right now, America.
This report is brought to you by Welltower. Every 66 seconds, someone is diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. It's the sixth leading cause of death in America and cannot be prevented or cured. The human and financial toll is devastating. On May 6th, the Alzheimer's Association is hosting its Brain Ball. Influential leaders will come together to raise awareness of this disease and raise funds for cutting-edge research and critical support services for individuals and their caregivers. Tom DeRosa, CEO of Welltower, the national honoree at this year's Brain Ball.
There is currently no cure for Alzheimer's, which is why it's so important to offer care to those with Alzheimer's and support for their families. This should be a national priority. On behalf of Welltower and our partners, I ask you to support the Alzheimer's Association, which is working hard every day to fight this terrible disease.
For more information, visit ALZ.org.
Have you ever wondered why the medical system prescribes ingredients used in killing small rodents to thin blood? You know, I look at some people on this stuff, and they're more bruised than a boxer in the 12th round of a 10-round fight, you know what I mean? Careful with green vegetables. They must know best. Side effects include bleeding from the gums after you brush your teeth, swelling or pain at an injection site, diarrhea, vomiting, or inability to eat for more than 24 hours, fever, severe bleeding, including heavier than normal menstrual bleeding, red or brown urine, black or bloody stool, severe headache or stomach pain, joint pain, discomfort, or swelling, especially after an injury, vomiting of blood or material that looks like coffee grounds, bruising that develops without an injury, you remember? Well, dizziness or weakness on top of that, and even death or skin tissue or necrosis. Well, here at Bill Martinez Live, we support the structure function of blood with EFA. Plus, find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326.
This is it. For the first time ever on this station, U.S. government gold offered at cost for only $139 each. With Wall Street suffering its worst start to a trading year in history, now is especially the time to be paying attention to gold. This first time ever, U.S. legal tender government gold offered at cost for only $139 each is from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call them at 1-866-944-GOLD. Gold is on the move, so don't miss out. For the first time ever on this station, U.S. government gold offered at cost for only $139 each. 1-866-944-GOLD or online at usmoneyreserve.com. Ask for a free 55-page gold buyer's book. Plus, get a free Walking Liberty half dollar just for reading this must-have book. Get your free gold book, your free half dollar, but most importantly, get your gold at cost for only $139 per coin. 1-866-944-GOLD.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live.
Who is the gopher's ally? His friend. The harmless squirrel and the friendly rabbit. I'm going to use you two guys to do my dirty work for me.
What more could you want? Bill Martinez Live.
He's totally demented, isn't he? Oh, I tell you, you got to smile a little bit anyway. Why not? Let's make it a great day. 28 minutes before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here with you. And it's good to have John Guandola with us. He's the founder of UnderstandingTheThreat.com, an organization dedicated to providing strategic and operational threat-focused consultation, education, and training for federal, state, and local leadership and agencies. John is a Semper Fi Marine like yours truly. And, John, always good to have you with us. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks very much for having me on again.
Well, John, you know, the Marine Corps hymn, which you and I have sang many a times with a lot of pride and remembrance, has taught us so much about dealing with Islam. And here we are 211 years down the road, and for some reason we've lost lessons, you know, from years past. And this is amazing to us that America finds itself still at war with Islam when this was a settled issue back on April the 27th, 1805.
Well, right. I think the lesson that, if nothing else, that Americans digest, remember, retain, is that the very first military victory on foreign soil for the United States of America was against Muslims. Muslims that were doing back then what they're doing now, which is seizing things that don't belong to them, like American ships, kidnapping American citizens, And when Thomas Jefferson was the ambassador before he became president, when he and John Adams were ambassadors to France and England, respectively, they met with the potentate of Tripoli, and they asked him, why are you doing these things? And he said, because it's a commandment from Allah in our law, that anyone who doesn't submit to Islam is an enemy, and it's our duty to enslave or kill him. And the letters the letter that Jefferson and Adams wrote still remains in the Library of Congress today. That they wrote to the Continental Congress remains in the historical records of the Library of Congress. And so our inability to just simply deal with the truth, which is that we have an enemy that does what they do, not because of economic deprivation or because of a lack of education or because there aren't enough McDonald's in Syria. Mm-hmm. It's not because of Israel. It's not because of the Palestinian situation. And it's not because of American foreign policy. It's because all Sharia law mandates jihad until the entire world is under Islamic law. It's the purpose mm-hmm. of Islam.
Well, we've been saying that, John. You've been saying it. Other experts have come in, said the same thing, but people aren't listening. What did, just to remind everybody and make this, crystal clear in the minds of those that are listening, what did Adams and Jefferson spell out to the Continental Congress about Islam? In this letter that is still in our museums, what did it say?
Well, it just said that what the leader of Tripoli, the potentate, said was that it's a command for them that any Muslim that's slain in battle is sure to go to paradise. Mm-hmm. That it's a law that they have to do it. That's why they do it. They attack us because it's a command from Allah, and it's in their law, which comes from Allah and the example of the Prophet Muhammad. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they're doing it. That's the whole reason why we're at war.
So what did Jefferson, I guess what I'm trying to get is, in the letter that they sent, what did they tell the Continental Congress their conclusion was? They said, here it is, Islam says, we're at war, it's according to what we believe, and we have to do this, we can't help ourselves. So Jefferson and Adams concluded something from that meeting, and they sent it back to the Continental Congress and said, guys, here's what we have to do, right?
That's right, and what they have to do is exactly what Jefferson ended up doing in Tripoli when he was president, which is launching a force to go in and to defeat them. And the lesson that we should know from history in the last 1,400 years is this threat has only ever been defeated on the field of battle. Mm-hmm. No amount of cajoling and talking and negotiating ever stopped them, because they believe it's a command from God, from their God, to do it. So they're not going to stop.
Right.
And the only way we can stop them is by force. And that's what this is coming to. And I think anybody that still has a functioning and discerning brain housing group up in their head can see that across the world, what's unfolding.
But, John, there was time that took place, though, between that meeting, that initial meeting with the future president and John Adams, with the potentate of Tripoli. There was some time. I mean, here they get the message, they read this loud and clear, and meanwhile, the Muslims continue to do what they had been doing. And so it took a while for, as you say, for even the people here in the United States to engage their housing, a mechanism that controls their brain, and to say, look, we've got to do something about this. And so there was a period of time, it wasn't immediate. But here it is. I guess what I'm trying to get to is here, we placated them for a while back then, and we are doing it again. And it just seems that we're hamstrung all the more because of this political correctness and overly, sensitive nature that our culture has become, because we don't want to be, Islam phobes or phobes and phobes and whatever phobes that they want to come up with.
Yeah, and I guess maybe to clarify for your listeners, I could just read a part of it, because this is exactly out of the letter. I just pulled this up out of my, because I actually have a copy of this on my website. And this is how the ambassador answered Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, our founding fathers. quote, the ambassador answered us, meaning the from Tripoli, that it was founded on the laws of their prophet, that it was written in the Quran that all nations should not have acknowledged their authority were sinners, that it was their right and duty to make war upon them wherever they could be found, and to make slaves of all they could take as prisoners, and that every Muslim who was slain in battle was sure to go to paradise. And this understanding of what Islam was, you can also see in the writings of another future president and member of Congress, John Quincy Adams, who was very clear about what Islam was and, quite frankly, how evil it was and is. And so I think our lack of understanding, when you see men like these, men like John Quincy Adams, men like Theodore Roosevelt, Winston Churchill, St. Thomas Aquinas, who have written very explicitly on what the threat is, and yet we continue to today act as if it's not a problem, and as if it's just something that will go away, or it's being caused by Islamophobes are causing this,
right,
as opposed to who's really causing this.
Yeah, who's the bad actor on the field to play here? And it's the same one that was back then, back in 1805, and it is today. And, of course, here they are. They feel like, you know, God is authenticating their movement because of the success that they've had early on. But now they're starting to lose ground, so I wonder if they're starting to think that maybe God has abandoned them.
Well, I don't know, but I know one thing for sure is that what it is and what they're fighting for is very clear. And, you know, I just published another article this morning and basically asked some of these questions. Is that, you know, when you come to the realization that in Islamic law it's obligatory for Muslims to lie against non-Muslims when the cause is obligatory and jihad is obligatory, and it's a capital crime for a Muslim to teach another Muslim anything about Islam that's not true. And so if you want to know what Islam is, stop listening to what they're saying to you and what Muslims tell you Islam is, and pick up a book of Islamic law or a textbook from an elementary or junior high school class in Islamic schools.
Exactly.
And you'll read that what they're teaching is what ISIS and Al-Qaeda are saying.
Well, go to his website, understandingthethreat.com, for more information. John Guandola, former FBI agent, former Marine with us, giving us insight that the war with Islam continues here. This is Bill Martinez.
The phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
This report is brought to you by Capital One. According to the Capital One Rewards Barometer, nearly 1 in 4 rewards cardholders say it's difficult to determine the value of their earnings. Our lives are busy enough. Do you really want a credit card that makes things more complicated? Instead, look for a straightforward card that makes life easier and saves money. Then you'll have time to enjoy its benefits. Capital One has your back, with products and tools that work together to create an effortless experience. For instance, the Quicksilver card from Capital One has a flat 1.5% earn rate, with no limits or expiration dates, and no foreign transaction fees. It's easy to use and comes with additional perks like the Capital One wallet that makes it easy to stay organized on the go. And Second Look, which proactively flags potentially mistaken or unexpected charges. Don't complicate your life. Instead, find a card that makes it easier. For more information on Quicksilver and other Capital One products and tools, visit www.capitalone.com. That's www.capitalone.com. I'm Cecilia Silguera.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
How would you like to make 17% on your money in only 90 days?
That's right. Gold owners made 17% in only 3 months as gold had its best quarterly gain in 30 years. Gold is on the move, and you need to get government-issued, legal tender gold coins starting at only $139 each. The U.S. Money Reserve, one of the largest gold distributors in the country, announces the first ever at-cost gold release on this station for only $139 each. 1-866-944-GOLD or online at usmoneyreserve.com. Official U.S. government-issued legal tender solid gold coins at cost for only $139 each. Call 1-866-944-GOLD. Ask for a free 55-page gold buyer's book. Plus, get a free Walking Liberty half dollar just for reading this must-have book all about gold. Remember, gold is on the move, up 17%. Call 1-866-944-GOLD.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At Bill Martinez Live, we should change Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to BillMartinezLive.com, Longevity, or call 855-305-8326. That's 855-305-8326. Martinez, welcome back, America. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. And if you want to drop me an email, it comes to me direct. NSA approved, I will tell you. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. Well, tonight is the night we've been waiting for. 7 o'clock local time, Fathom event, Climate Hustle, the movie. I'll tell you, it is going to be absolutely, I just think, just a great opportunity for us that have been wondering, you know, with all these different narratives that have been going around about the climate. I mean, to listen to Al Gore, wasn't that long ago, he was saying that, you know, a good part of America would be underwater. We were going to have all this devastation. You remember the ad they did with that little girl that was just so incredible? See, to me, I think when somebody, you know, says these kind of things, they lose all credibility. They should never be allowed in the public square again, because they are what we would call a false prophet. Well, Mark Morano is with us. He's a former communications director for the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, a senior aide speechwriter and climate researcher for Senator James Inhofe, the Republican from Oklahoma, executive director, I should say executive editor and chief correspondent for ClimateDepot.com. And Mark is actually, he's hosting, I mean, he's the host and the narrator throughout this movie, Climate Hustle movie. And Mark, good to have you back with us. How are you?
Very good, Bill. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I was the writer, and I just want to say that after your viewers go, listeners, go see this film tonight, we can confidently say that the great climate catastrophe has been canceled. Mm-hmm. And in the borrow the phrase of Muhammad Ali, this will be one of the greatest climate skeptic films of all time.
There it is.
Exuberant today. Excuse my exuberance.
Well, it's all coming to a head here. And I know, Mark, like so many of us, we cannot wait to see the movie in its entirety because the way it's laid out. You're examining science. I mean, this is true science, okay, on both sides of the issue. This isn't this kind of funky science that we've been fed with, you know, for the last couple of decades, led to believe and encouraged by even the president of the United States, who just says it's a fact. Well, what are they going to say, Mark, after tonight when they see this expose and see that their facts are crumbling before them?
Yeah, I think one of the key things about the Climate Hustle, which, by the way, you can still get tickets, climatehustle.com, it's tonight only, is that the supporters of President Obama, supporters of Al Gore, what I mean by that is, are scientists, climate scientists, geologists, and scientists who are politically left-wing are throwing in the towel on global warming fears. And we have scientists in this who voted for Gore, who would do so again, who openly say he's a smart man, but they said they went and saw his film and they were appalled. We have Nobel Prize-winning scientists, a physicist who won the Nobel Prize in science, says he endorsed President Obama, a public endorsement, and then dissented on global warming and said Obama is wrong, flat out wrong on global warming. So I think, and we have a French socialist party in there. We have environmental scientists who say global warming has hijacked the environmental movement. So even if you claim like, oh, it's a scientific debate, you don't know what, you don't know where to go, just look at the movement of what's happening. And that's what I think this film is going to shock people. Aside from the humor, we get into such the wackiness. When people realize how absurd the climate movement's become, they'll realize that's going to have a big pull on them as well.
Well, Mark, you said something that's rather important here. I want people to make sure that they grab a hold of this, and that is that the whole environment issue has been hijacked. And this is what has happened with a lot of special interests, is they go in, I think, well-intentioned to say, all right, let's take a look at this. And out of a good science background and interest, they pursue it. And then you get these bad players who see this as an opportunity to control and manipulate the population, which is what's happening, I believe, on many levels with the environmental issue. And the essence and the importance of the issue is lost in translation because now it's driven by a manipulative, policy and agenda.
Yeah, in fact, to your point, Bill, directly, the science on global warming was, shall we say, bastardized or began to be turned into a campaign issue in 1988. That was the year the United Nations formed their climate panel. And their goal has been and still is to show that global warming is a problem. Why? Because then they can offer the solutions. And what are their solutions? The head of the UN climate panel actually said that they want a centralized transformation that will make life on planet Earth very different. The head of one of the vice chairs of the UN climate panel has said that they will redistribute wealth by climate policy. So we know, and another big top climate official from the UN has said global warming is my religion, unquote. I mean, that's the exact quote. So we know they have an agenda. We know they distorted the science. We know they suppressed data that wasn't fit their narrative. We know all this from the ClimateGate email scandal that happened in 2009. The top leadership of the science of the UN were caught manipulating and creating a narrative and not allowing anything to get in it, much the way a campaign would do. And that's what's really distorted the science, because you can't have a rational conversation because all the science is juiced in order to empower the UN to offer the, quote, solution.
Yeah, how do you have a conversation when the foundation is faulty, Mark? I mean, Al Gore's inconvenient, lie is just blasphemed by the inconvenient truth that speaks louder than the lie.
Yeah, in fact, Al Gore, in a way, we've been blessed because the United Nations is not trusted by the American people, and Al Gore is one of the worst spokesmen you can have, not because there's necessarily anything wrong with Al Gore, but because he's a divisive political figure. Mm-hmm. So he's automatically going to turn off about half of the electorate. So I think what's happened is Gore has his followers and then the media and then, but public opinion has actually stayed pretty solid. Since 1989, Gallup's been asking, how worried are you about global warming? And it hasn't changed since 1989 to 2016. The public isn't buying it. The problem, actually, Bill, is that President Obama has bypassed democracy. We now have domestic climate rules through the EPA by executive order, not a single vote or debate of Congress. And now we have a UN treaty imposed on us without Senate ratification. That's, traditionally the Senate's job when it comes to international agreements. So what's happened is even though skeptics have done very well and we've won the science, political, and the waging all these battles over carbon bills, climate bills, carbon taxes, UN treaties, we may be losing the war now because they've decided the climate activists through President Obama's administration are now bypassing traditional democracy.
Exactly.
And this is the real threat right now.
Well, even more so, Mark, I mean, that's bad enough because that brings to the whole nightmare, the IRS, all the stuff that we saw happen a couple of years ago with Lois Lerner when the administration, when the bureaucracy starts working against the people. I mean, this is like the biggest fear that the body politic has. And then in addition to that, they take our hardworking tax dollars and they incentivize this faulty science all the more.
Yeah, in fact, the Obama administration has what you might call a scientific cleansing. One of their former energy scientists actually did a Wall Street Journal op-ed where he dissented. And it was around that time that one of his cabinet heads actually said, there's no deniers in my agency. I mean, they sent out a chilling message to any U.S. government scientist that you better not be a global warming skeptic in this administration, or your job, your pension, your future, everything about your job will be affected. This is how much they juiced the science and turned it into a campaign cause. They do not allow dissent. And the most alarming thing, and we feature this in Climate Hustle,
right,
is Robert F. Kennedy calling for jailing of skeptics. We have Bill Nye openly agreeing that they belong as war criminals. We have them being compared to Holocaust deniers. They are trying to marginalize and get rid of any dissent or debate, because, by golly, they want the solutions to come, and the solutions are central planning.
You know, Mark, I know you feel the same way. I mean, we're all for free speech, but when free speech is, hallowed words that the building is burning down and nothing's burning, you know, how do you marginalize these people? How do they continue to have place and are able to continue to speak their lies without any kind of consequence?
Because they have all of the major organs of our society behind them. They have the massive news media. They have academia, which relies on the grant money. They have international organizations like the UN. And they have these science academies that have been hijacked. Now, let me explain. People always say, oh, how could thousands of scientists be in on a conspiracy? They're not. There's only 52 scientists in the United Nations that sign off on these reports that say carbon dioxide is the danger to our society. 52, 53, in that range when these reports come out. In addition, when you hear about this American Meteorological Society, the National Academy of Science, it's two dozen or so governing board members who are steeped in political correctness and in government funding that vote without direct input from their membership. Individual scientists never have a vote. So these organizations come out and endorse Al Gore, the UN, and all the scientists are left saying, what? And then when you actually survey the actual scientists, like in the American Meteorological, some of the studies showed more than half, 75%, were skeptical. So
right,
it's a grand illusion of this consensus, and we go after that head on in the film, the so-called 97%.
Yeah, I was going to say, you address the 97%, which if anybody knows anything about scientists, I don't think you can get 97% of any scientific group to agree on anything.
Yeah, the most place you get 97-98% are usually in dictators' elections when they get reelected by huge margins. They usually keep a couple percent, so they try to make it look legit.
Yeah.
You might see that in North Korea and a few other places, but it has no role in science.
Well, Mark, the movie screens tonight. It is an exclusive Fathom event, 400 screens across the country. Check out climatehustlemovie.com. You can find a theater near you. We'll see you all there tonight. Also, Mark says get there early because we're going to have a little preamble, a little 15-minute preamble, too, to the movie, right?
Yeah, there's a little behind-the-scenes interviews. We have quiz up there. So if you try to get there before 7, maybe 6:45, a little earlier, and sit back and enjoy. And I hope there's a lot of silliness in this. And we use their own words for the humor. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Well, a lot of fun. It'll be rather provocative at the same time. I'm sure this is the truth that agitates, and we need to be agitated in a positive way, don't we, Mark?
Yeah, we do. The public needs to wake up, because whether they believe in global warming, whether they're afraid of it, those solutions, alleged solutions, are being imposed upon us through the EPA, through the United Nations, as we speak, and it's below the radar. No one's aware of it. And they're going to be made permanent and a permanent part of our society and culture. And people are going to be paying for it in everything from their light bulbs to their SUVs to
exactly.
their dishwashers.
Well, Mark, we're out of time. So we'll look forward to seeing you tonight on the big screen. ClimateHustleMovie.com for more information. We'll see you there tonight at 7 o'clock.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Purchase a ProPure system during the Crazy May sale and get a free ProMax shower filter or water filter pitcher. Remove up to 200 contaminants with the Pro1G 2.0 truly cleanable, reusable filter. We don't stretch our claims, we just deliver performance. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.